Welcome to Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Let us begin this time of worshiping the Lord with "The Lord is in His Holy Temple."
The Lord is in His Holy Temple. The Lord is in His Holy Temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Keep silence. Keep silence before Him. Amen.
The call to worship is taken from Psalm 63, verses 1 to 4. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Let us arise for the opening hymn. The hymn is number 35. Through all the changing scenes of life.
Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my voice shall be my heart and tongue employ. Magnified the Lord with Thee, with me, exalt His name. When in distress to Thee I call, Thee to my rescue came. The host of God and kept around the dwellings of the just, deliverance He affords to all who on His succor trust. Oh, make the trial of His love experience with His side. How blessed they are and holy who in His truth confide. Hear Him, He says, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you His stuff, it's your duty, not your wants, shall be his care.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how glorious and majestic is thy name through all the earth. How faithful and true art thy covenantal blessings, which thou dost continuously pour upon us, thy people. That thou hast sustained our lives by thy almighty sovereign hand, and doth uphold thy children, that we might now come before thee in the congregation of thy saints, to with thankful and joyful hearts sing praises unto thee. Let the truth of the hymn we just sung ring in our hearts. Let them not be just mere words that we utter with our lips. Let us remember to fear thee. And truly, if we do so, there is nothing else to fear. If we have a reverential awe and adoration of thee, and know that thou art omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, thou shalt take care of us. And fast, because we fear and love thee, of whom shall we fear? Of whom shall we be afraid? And so may it be, O Lord, that through all the changing scenes of life, whether in sickness or in health, whether in poverty or in wealth, whether in trouble or in joy, make the praises of thy name be constantly upon our hearts, and may thou cause our tongues to continuously praise thee. May thou do this, O Lord, amongst thy people gathered here. Fix our minds, our affections, our wills, at this present moment upon thee and thy honor and glory. This ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to
please be seated. Our scripture text for today is taken from Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, we shall be looking at the first 7 verses. I shall begin with the odd verses. Please respond in the even. Exodus chapter 17. Verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did
with Moses
and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Last verse in unison. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Amen. Thank God for the reading of His holy word. Let us now sing the hymn number 356, "Lead Me, Savior."
Savior, lead us astray, gently lead me all the way. I am saved when by thy side I would in thy love abide. Lead me, lead me, lead me, lest I stray. Gently thou the stream of time, lead me, Savior, all the way. Thou, the refuge of my soul, when life's stormy billows roll, I am safe when thou art nigh. On thy mercy I rely. Lead me, lead me, Savior, lead me, lest I stray. Gently down the stream of time, lead me, Savior, all the way. Savior, lead me to at last, when the storm of life is past, I shall reach the endless day, where all tears are wiped away. Lead me, lead me, Savior, lead me, lest I stray. Gently down the stream of time, lead me, Savior, all the way.
Amen. The memory verse for today is taken from John chapter 10, verse 9. You can refer to it in your order of worship. John chapter 10, verse 9, the words of Jesus. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." John chapter 10, verse 9. Let us read this together. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. John chapter 10, verse 9. Let us remember this verse. Try to memorize it during this time. Let's try together. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. John chapter 10, verse 9. Thank God for this wonderful verse, reminding us of what Christ has done for us. Let us now prepare our tithes and offering. The offertory hymn is number 318, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect salvation, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting.
looking about, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please arise for the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, righteous here below. Praise Him, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise the Son and Holy Ghost.
Father in heaven, what a thought that the hymn reminded us that Jesus is ours. What a foretaste of glory divine, that we who were before heirs of damnation have now become the heirs of salvation. That we who were before under the wrath of God have now been purchased by God. That we who were born and dead in trespasses and sins are now born of God's Spirit of grace and sanctified unto good works. That we who were before drenched with the filthy mire of sin have now been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And so because of all these reasons, O Lord, we thy people in humble, joyful gratitude do offer our thanksgiving offerings unto thee, that thou mayest use it according to thy bountiful wisdom to make thy saints mature in Christ in the faith, that thou mayest save the lost sheep who have wandered from thy fold, that thou mayest provide for the spiritual needs of thy children. So use it, O Lord, for thy magnification. May thou now bless Pastor as he, with the unction of thy Spirit, may be given utterance to preach the word, as an ambassador to speak the words which are found in thy word. And may we all, through the preaching of thy word, be conformed more and more to the image of thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name whereby we ask and pray. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message, Water Shortage, again, it's number 130. I waited for the Lord my God.
I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear, and left to me did it incline my voice and cry to Him. He took me from a fearful pit and from the mouth of free clay, and on the rock he set my feet, establishing my way. He put a new song in my mouth, our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear, and all the Lord rely. Oh, blessed is the man whose trust upon the Lord relies, respecting not the proud, nor such as turn aside to light. O Lord, my God, full many are the wonders thou hast done, thy gracious thoughts to us were far above our thoughts, our God. Thy tender mercies flow from me. Oh, do thou not restrain thy loving kindness and thy truth. Let death his torment
flee. Amen. Shall now pass the time to pastor. Shall lead us in the pastoral prayer and the message, water shortage, again from Exodus chapter 17.
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that our church may be gathered before Thee on this Sabbath day that Thou hast appointed, that we be gathered to witness a good confession of Thy divine appointment for Thy church as the people of Israel did of old, a day of worship, a day of rest. And we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast granted to us an obedient heart, that we may come before Thee in holy worship, to find strength for life, to find wisdom for life, to find help in times of need. Father in heaven, we praise and thank Thee for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. This salvation that is so rich and free, that is offered by Thy grace, of which we have received, having dealt with us in our hearts, in our lives, that we may learn to yield ourselves to Thee in confession of sin and repentance of heart. O God, turn us and bring us nigh to the Lord Jesus Christ through the precious blood of Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Strengthen Thy people. Father in heaven, we bring before Thee the bereaved family of our brother Benjamin, in the homegoing of Sister Lucy on the 7th of May. O Lord, we pray that Thou be gracious to comfort the bereaved family. Grant to them Thy peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for members of the family that is still outside Christ. O Lord, we plead and ask that Thou would be gracious to save them. Father, we thank Thee for the life of Sister Lucy, her testimony, her faithfulness in service before Thee and before Thy church. O Lord, bless her memory and the good works that followed her. Lord, we thank Thee that she has completed her life's journey and Thou has brought her to Thy very bosom of rest. And we thank Thee and we ask that Thy comfort may come upon the family during this time of need. Father, we pray for those who are traveling, for Joyen and Grace in Perth, returning on the 20th of May, for Ting Ting and Richard, also in Perth. May Thou be gracious to grant them journey mercies and keep them for Thy own namesake. Father in heaven, we praise and thank Thee for granting to Christine the good right eye pressure in her recent appointment with the doctor. We thank Thee for how Thou hast preserved her in good health and strength, and the right eye, that she may serve Thee. May Thou bless her service of Thee to Thy people for Thy own honor and glory. We pray for Sister Murray. She undergoes kidney dialysis treatment. O Lord, may Thou be gracious to keep her and strengthen her. We pray for her high blood pressure condition, that it may be well managed. Father, we pray and commit to Thee this land of Singapore. May Thou, be Thy mercy come upon this land, that there may be peace, and that the authorities may govern with just and equitable measures, that the gospel work may be furthered from here and beyond these shores. We pray for Thy mercy to protect Singapore from terrorism, from haze, from pestilences. Strengthen Thy people. And Father, we pray for our upcoming church camp from the 22nd to the 25th of June. Lord, as we wait upon Thee, may Thou be gracious to make a way for us. We commit ourselves into Thy hand, Thy church, Thy people, especially those who are planning to come. May Thou make smooth pathways, that Thy church may be gathered before Thee to meditate and consider Thy word for these last times. O God, strengthen Thy people and show us Thy truth and grant us Thy grace to walk therein. Father in heaven, we ask that Thou wouldst now bless the preaching of Thy holy word. May Thy Spirit come and fill us and show us Thy holy will. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Water shortage again is the title of today's message, taken from Exodus chapter 17 and verses 1 to 7. The Apostle Paul speaks of life with God as he reflects upon the truth about God's care for his people through the ages. He says this in Romans 8, 28 to 39. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was a summary of the Apostle Paul's life, how God turned him around. He was a blasphemer. He was an injurer of the church, a persecutor, but God saved him because God loved him. God called him. He was predestinated. He was called. He was justified. And when he writes this epistle to the Romans, he has gone through much tribulation, sharing the gospel throughout the Roman Empire, in the many missionary journeys that God has called him to serve in. And he has seen many trials, gone through much sufferings in his life. But out of it all, he tells us of God's care for him. He says to us, be not afraid of the trials that comes to life. Be not afraid of the sufferings that God may bring your way. Be not afraid. For God will take care of you. He knows your frame, and you can rely upon Him. Here, God's people are to learn about the consistent care of God for them through life. Israel is in the wilderness for merely several months, and now they are facing yet another national crisis. Shortage of water, shortage of food, and now shortage of water again. Israel was doing God's will. They were journeying according to God's commandment. How is it that there was no water available? When they experience thirst, they become wearisome and weary. Trials come to our lives. What is the purpose? Well, two thoughts which the Lord wants us to learn. Faith tested again, verse 1 to 3. Faith tested again, verse 1 to 3. And faithfulness of God, verse 4 to 7. This life is a journey of faith. We begin in faith, we continue in faith, and we will end in faith. Verse 1 of our texts tells us how God is testing the people of Israel again. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. To think that God made the bitter water sweet just not too long ago. And God provided food for them. You recall we were mentioning that God allowed them, or they brought their flock out of Egypt. Remember, they were cattle raisers in the land of Goshen. And so obviously they have their cattle with them. But to feed 2 million Israelites, how long can the cattle last? How many sheep will need to be slaughtered each day just to feed 2 million? We gave this illustration recently. You eat 2 eggs a day, and every day you need 2 eggs. But there are so many in the family, so many in all the families in the land, and so many families scattered, spread all over the island. And so how many do you need? Well, a lot, isn't it? So it's not surprising that they ran out of food when they came out of the wilderness. It's not surprising that they ran out of water when they came out of the wilderness. For the wilderness is indeed a very rough, barren, wild environment that God allowed Israel to transit before they reached the promised land. And again, you would see, and we'd like to examine the response of the people of Israel to the trials of faith that came their way. Verse 2 says, wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? The word chide there has a meaning to toss, to grapple, to wrangle, to hold a controversy, to complain, to contend, to debate, to strive, to be adversarial. Will God save us out of all our sins and bring us to a state whereby we cannot continue as a witness for Him? No, it will not be. When we follow the Lord faithfully, the question is asked, why is it that we face lack? Why is it that God allows us to be tested? It is so that we may see the glory of God, showing us that we have no lack walking with Him. God wants us to see and learn how wonderful a creator and a sustainer He is to us. When God made the universe, His focus was upon the earth. And when God made the earth, His focus was upon men. He made a ready paradise with all the plants, the fruit trees, the garden, the fish in the sea, the fowls, the land animals, the herbs, before He placed Adam and Eve in the garden. God took very good care of Adam and Eve. Will He not take care of His people, whom He promised, whom He would raise to be His witness to all the nations of the world, to the goodness of God? To the goodness of God. God is the source of all goodness. And would He do us harm after He saved us? Certainly not, dear friends. But it is in the wilderness that God allows our faith to be tested. So you said, how come the family got so many problems? How come so many trials God allow us to go through? How come? Well, it is in those testings, it is in those trials that we learn that we can rely upon nothing. There's nothing tangibly certain and solid to support us except God and His power. And so God brought them to the wilderness, a barren and dead place, a dry and empty desert place, in order to proof to them, in order to show them that He is able, that He is faithful. He will not forsake His people. And so, the Lord wants us to think about this life by committing ourselves to Him. As Jesus said to the church, to the disciples in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is the life more than meat, and the body more than what you can put on?" A believer shared about the struggle, the daily struggle of life, when he said, "What comes from humans that's impossible for the Lord to experience?" It is our worry. And by faith, he says, "What comes from God that it is impossible for man to manufacture?" And it's wisdom. And finally, he said, "And what is it that brings wisdom and dispels worry?" Well, the answer is worship. So there was a brother who came out of worship, and I met him outside the worship hall, and he said to me, "I've listened to what you said, and I have come for worship. But after worship, I'm still worried." So I asked him, "Have you given yourselves fully, wholly to the Lord? Have you fully committed, given over your burden to Him? Because if you have, then your burden would remain with Him and not with you. God will carry them, and He promises to carry them. But if we will not allow Him, we will not surrender our lives to Him. If we will hold back and want to live our own life, then God cannot fully manifest Himself, His power in our lives." And true enough, there was sin in the life. Sin has not been dealt with. Sin has not been repented. Sin has not been nipped in the bud. And it would take some time for God to work, for God to cause a man to come face to face with Him. And when we are willing to confess our sins before Him, when we are willing to acknowledge our inability, that is where we are going to learn and see and experience the care of God in our lives. Because we don't want God to help us. Our way is better than His way. We know better. We know best. Of course, there is not a lot of help. No true help. But for the people of God who be willing to cast their care upon Him, to trust Him, to take care of them, Jesus gave this illustration in Matthew 6:28. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin." So he said, consider, learn thoroughly, he asks his listeners to realize of their common necessity. They have need to put on clothing. They have need to take care of themselves. And worry is an indication that we think God cannot look after us. And when we have such a thinking in our lives, when God is not who He is, but our own concoction of who He is, then you would find that our lives fall great short of God's glory. You recall in 208, during the financial crisis that was sparked off by the Lehman Brothers collapse in 2008. Major banks were faced with the prospect of insolvency. Major insurance companies were faced with the prospect of collapse. It was very real. And for the people of God, if we have put our trust in the things that we hold on to, then when we would lose them, we would become very disturbed. We would become very discomfited. But if we put our trust in God and who He is, then I believe that we can trust Him to take care of us. I recall at that time, after about 5 years, 6 years into the ministry, and we were doing the work. And at that time, my car broke down. The gearbox was wrecked after 5 years. And repair would be quite prohibitive. And it was at that time that the Lord provided for us a new vehicle. After, at that time, Chinese New Year, I recall. So we went there, and at that time, the COE was less than $1,000. Less than $1,000. And how is it that in the middle of financial crisis, a man who has just more or less put himself out of financial means, find himself being taken care of in a most marvelous way? So the salesman said, "Hey, you know, you buy, I half the commission, I earn less, sell." And it was at the time, well, God provided for His people. And we experience what God did. In a time when most people would be in a state of great panic, God provided for us a brand new car. Can you understand it? Never have we thought we would move in that direction. But that's what God did. We didn't set our hearts on these things. But there was a need at that time. And did God not help us to provide for us? Well, I say to you that God did. And God knew what we need even before the need would arise. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, I believe it because I say I experienced it. God took care. And the only thing that we learned was first that we need to surrender to the Lord, to let Him take charge. To let Him take charge. So I remember before going into the full-time ministry, we were brought for training. I was in the south of France, in a place, well, a converted castle. And we were there having training. And this man, this lady, gave us a test. A ladder was placed upon a wall, quite a high ladder. And we are to climb up a ladder, each one of us, and then to let go. Let go. And all your other friends are supposed to, right below, ready to catch you. Ready to catch you. And at that time, I tried. I said, wow. I said to myself, well, what if my friends' knees were weak? Hands were weak at that time, and you know, it just miscued. Well, I'll fall to my death, isn't it? So high. Then I asked myself, because at that time, well, I told the department manager that I'm thinking of quitting my job, leaving. And so I said, you think about it, but I continue to send you for training. So I ask myself, if I rely upon God, who is able to take care of me, then I need to be able to simply let go and let Him lead. Let go and let Him lead. And that's a challenge, isn't it? The people of Israel needed to learn to let go and let the Lord lead them. They are not to see with their naked eyes of the environment and feel that God's presence is not with them. That is why later on in the study of Exodus, you would see God instructing Moses to build the tabernacle. What is the reason of building the tabernacle? It was right in the center whereby Israel were encamped around. It was there that they would build, well, a temporary tentage for the presence of God. God will dwell there by the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. God's presence will be with them. There would be a lampstand which God will command the priests to light up all the time. So that when they would look in, they would see the light. They would see God's presence. They would see the fire by night. They would see the cloud by day, sheltering them, protecting them. We are such weak creatures. We need to see. But it behooves us to see with the eyes of faith. For we serve an invisible God, isn't it? God is in heaven. So how can we see God send forth His Son? God sent forth His Son. So that when we see Jesus Christ, we would see Him. And when Jesus was present upon earth, He showed how He was capable of taking care of us. You remember He fed the 5,000 beside women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He began to peel and it multiplied, and they were able to have more than left over to take care of them. God had to show His presence. God has to demonstrate Himself, that He is the Creator, He is the one that made us, and to show us who He is, and to show us the mission that He has brought us, the mission of Israel, was to be a witness to all the nations of the world. All the nations of the world. They are to be the witness of God. So are you. You are called to be a witness of the living and true God, the one who made the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil not, neither do they spin. So, dear friends, we are called to a higher life. And God wants us to learn of it, know of it, experience it. That is why He recorded for us, and He allowed the people of Israel to go into the wilderness before they reached the promised land. Verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Is God like that? When we are tested, what must be a right response? They were angry with God. That's the meaning of the word chide there. They were ready to grapple, wrangle, contend, complain, strive. In the Mandarin is the word nào nụ. Nào nụ. Of course, they were very angry because they felt the thirst. Why did God bring them there? Because God was testing their faith, if they would trust Him. If they would trust Him. Because He's going to bring them to a land filled with milk and honey, that they would have more than enough. You see, when you have more than enough, where would your mind flow to? Well, you will forget very soon the source of your blessing, isn't it? This is the trouble with fallen men. And the Lord wants us to see and learn so that we would truly know the source of our blessing, and that we would truly know the faithfulness of God. That's our second thought. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people of Israel may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. The people were angry with Moses to the point that they wanted to kill him. When men are faced with physical hardship, the ability to endure can be weak. And in desperation, oftentimes we begin to doubt God's ability to help and care for us. It is at this point that God proved himself faithful. God is going to bring water out of the rock, so that we would understand that he is the source of our blessing. Without him, we have nothing. But he has a higher purpose for our life. And he wants us to understand that and be in tune to live for his glory, a higher life, a better life. Will we choose to do so? In Psalm 23, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall have no lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." The psalmist experienced the complete care of God in his life. And how did he learn it? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. During the time of our trial. So you ask, why after I come to know God, I want to walk with him, I want to follow him, why so much trouble? Why so much trouble? Well, God is testing your faith. And he wants you to experience his complete care, his provision, his person, his protection, his preservation. That is why the psalmist is able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." He uses a personal affiliation. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of me, do you know? And he can take care of you if you would allow him, if you would surrender your life to him. But for the people of the world, they would be wondering, "You sure?" Well, the Lord wants us to know by experience. That is why he brought them through the wilderness patch. That is why he brought them through that wilderness situation. So that in that wilderness, they may learn and see his care for them. He is the source of blessing. He's the source of life. So, dear friends, how can you receive this source of life? We receive by receiving Jesus Christ by an act of faith. Since Jesus died for our sins and rose again the third day, conquering death and sin, what we have to do is to open our heart and receive Him as Savior and Lord. As we come with contrition of heart, we need to let go of all the things that is a crutch to us. It may be certain things in our life that binds us, certain idols in our lives that holds us. We must surrender them over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with a contrition of heart, with a repentant heart for our sins, so that we may appropriate God's forgiveness for sins by a single act of faith. And then we cultivate the spirit of assured dependence upon our Heavenly Father. The psalmist doesn't say, "If the Lord will help me," nor "but," or "I hope so." But he says, with full assurance of faith, "The Lord is my shepherd. And what follows after we receive Jesus in our heart, the Lord says, "I shall not want. We shall have no lack." Why? Because He's the giver of everything. He's the creator of everything. And He is the sustainer of everything. He is the one that gives life to us. We shall have no lack. If famine should devastate the land, calamity would destroy the city, old age with its feebleness, we shall have no lack. We have this new life in Jesus. And being lively stone, not because we have a good store of money in the bank, not because we have some skill and some wit to win our bread, but because the Lord is my shepherd. And so, we must know Him, and we must come to Him. We must hear Him. We must love Him. We must trust Him. We must follow Him. We must obey Him. So what did God ask Moses to do? God said to Moses, "Thy rod, whereof thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand and go. Behold, stand before thee there upon the rock, and smite the rock, and there shall water come out of it." God proved Himself. It was an impossible task. We are to rely upon Him as we do His will and serve Him. And so, He's, verse 7 of our text, it says, He called the name of the place Massah. What is the meaning of the word Massah? The word means testing. And what about the second word? Meribah. The word there means to chide, to murmur against God, to complain against God. So if God is going to bring you a test this week, and something is going to happen to you, will you trust Him to take care of you? Whatever that crisis may be, whatever that situation that comes may be, will you trust God? Verse 7 says, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? Of course, the Lord was with his people. And God gives this picture for us through the Exodus and Christ himself coming upon earth, and how he healed the sick, how he calmed the storm, to help us to see for ourselves, because he knows our faith is weak. They would just have to patiently wait upon the Lord, to call upon him in prayer. He will always prove himself faithful. Faith tested again. Verse 1 to 3. Faithfulness of God. Verse 4 to 7. There will be many more tests that God gives to us in our lives. But if we have committed ourselves to Him, He will always prove Himself faithful. So what is the greatest challenge that comes to you this week? Well, the Lord will also brings with us, with Him, His sufficient, abounding grace for us in our time of need. Will we trust Him? Let us do so, for He will yet prove Himself faithful. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Help us, Lord, to cast our burdens upon Thee and let our burdens rest with Thee. Lord, help us not to take them back, but fully surrender our lives to Thee. O Lord, we can do no other. There is no other foundation that we can rely on. All other foundation outside Christ is sinking sand. Only Christ is the solid rock on which we can build our lives for now and eternity. So Lord, help Thy people. Help us to place our trust in Thee and Thee alone. Strengthen Thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is 336. Only believe. 336. Only believe. Let's arise.
Fear not, little flock. From the cross to the throne, from death into life, He went for His own. All power in earth, all power above, is given to Him for the flock of His love. Only believe. Only believe, all things are possible, only believe. believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Fear not, little flock, ye go ahead. Your shepherd selecteth the path you must tread. The waters of Marah he'll sweeten for thee. He drank all the bitter in Gethsemane. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Fear not, little flock, whatever be your lot, he enters all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsakes, he never is gone. So count on his presence in darkness and dawn. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe.
Father in heaven, we ask that thou would strengthen the faith of thy people. As you send trials in our life, Lord, help us to know that thy love for us cannot be overcome, separated by tribulation, by distress, even by death. But thou hast conquered all on our behalf. Therefore, Lord, grant to us thy peace to trust thee. Grant to us thy grace to surrender our all to thee. And grant to us thy joy, especially during the time of trial, to patiently wait upon thee. Strengthen thy people. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Congregation, please be seated. The Church Camp 2022 is scheduled from the 22nd to the 24th to the 25th of June. The application form can be found at the reception behind. The theme, Be Strong in the Lord. The registration is open. Register your intent quickly. I encourage you to consider and come. This is a very rare opportunity that the Lord has granted for His church. Do not miss it. Do not miss it. And do not take it lightly. Benjamin and family would like to thank the church for their encouragement and support on the homegoing of his mother, Sister Lucy Ting, on the 7th of May. May the Lord comfort and strengthen the family as we look to Him for comfort during our time of need. At this time, we also remember Mr. Boone. We thank Thee for his discharge from the hospital. We praise the Lord for sustaining him. And we trust the Lord to take care of him. All praise to His glorious name. There shall be Bible study on Wednesday and prayer meeting also in the night at 8 p.m. Do read the pastoral, the testimony of our dear sister Lucy Ting. May the Lord bless our hearts as we give praise to His continual working in the life of His people. May the Lord help us. And that's all the announcements. We shall have the Sunday school shortly after this. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious, the Lord, be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen.
The service is now.